Steve Ravine, thanks so much for coming down to the studio today.
Thanks for having us, Nolan.
Thanks, man.
Well, your roots are in Americana and bluegrass, but this new album, The Pedestrian, has a different flavor to it. Tell me about the sort of the new direction that the band's sound is taking.
Well, I think that, the band sort of initially came together around bluegrass and playing as a bluegrass quartet. And I think slowly we just started getting back to our roots, sort of. I mean, for me, songwriting-wise, you know, I grew up listening to a lot of Paul Simon and Neil Young and stuff, and I think it was only a matter of time before all that sort of filtered into the music, too. So.
Anything you guys like to add to that?
Well, just as somebody who hasn't been in the band for the entire time, but I can definitely tell you that the band started around bluegrass, and now bluegrass is just an influence rather than the music that we play, I think, is whatever
Absolutely.
You want to call it.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that this kind of new sound with this newer album is a sort of an attempt to kind of distinguish you from all the other Americana acts that you kind of see popping up everywhere?
No, I think it's just an attempt to just be more true to living life and playing music.
Do what we like.
Yeah.
There's no motive behind it, just feeling natural, you know?
Yeah, I think we all kind of fell in love with bluegrass, you know. I mean, Alex kind of grew up with it, maybe more so than the rest of us, but we all love bluegrass, but there's just so much music out there that influences us and kind of drives us. So, that all filters into our music.
What was different about how you produced this album compared to your debut album?
It was more of a studio record, I'd say, than I feel like the first record was a little more live. We were for a lot of the time, we were all in the same room. In isolation booths sometimes, but often not too, and we would just be kind of recording most of the songs pretty live. And whereas the second record, there was a lot more kind of post production and individual tracking that went on. That was one difference.
More of a labor of love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
on the homepage of your website, there's this like really beautifully produced video that captures one of your songs, Adeline, and it's just, I was noticing that it really features a lot of kind of jazz chords and it's sort of an unusual arrangement for, typical Americana band, song. So I was wondering if have you found that the songs off of The Pedestrian are more fun to play live than previous songs you guys have come up with?
Ooh, that's kind of a tough question. I mean, I wouldn't say it's very album specific. Some songs off of the new record are harder to play live because this is a different ensemble than who created the record, you know.
And also I think that now we play the songs from the first record and they sound very different than they did on this first record because of the way the band is now, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think as the band evolves, it's kind of natural that the songs evolve with the band, and I think that definitely is true in our case.
So the band's currently based out of Santa Cruz, is that right?
No.
It formed in Santa Cruz. The roots kind of go back to Marin County, where me and Simon went to high school, and we met when he was 14 and I was 16, and we started playing music together in high school, and met Alex and Jeff down in Santa Cruz. Me and Simon were both down there for college, and that's when the band initially had its start, and now we're kind of split between the Bay Area and Santa Cruz, so we kind of, two of us are up in the Bay and two down in Santa Cruz, so. General Bay Area band.
with everybody kind of spread out across the Bay Area, are rehearsals and when you bring music to the band, Simon, is it primarily something that happens when you're all together, or are people kind of individually working on their parts leading up to rehearsal time, or how
it's
does
usually,
that work?
Usually we all, it's all when we come together, and that's all, that always feels the most natural.
Yeah, usually, you know, Simon will bring a song to us at practice and, you know, we'll learn the gist of it and then take it home and hone our parts. But it's mostly a group effort.
Yeah. I kind of like writing while we practice, sort of, or just like figuring things out. But obviously there's we work on stuff on our own time. Ideas are always brewing in the mind. But I think as a band, it's kind of the most fun to like have everybody figure out what they're going to play together, you know.
And
absolutely.
And I mean, just you never know how it's fully going to sound until you're all there playing it together,
right?
Really, you know. And you know, going home can be cool, and there's some techniques. I've taken some songs or parts home before and had like a guitar track that I've overlaid before I recorded or something, and you know, come up with some parts that way. But I think for the most part, it's the most fruitful when we're just playing things live and just figuring it out.
Yeah.
Simon, you mentioned Paul Simon as an early influence earlier.
Yeah.
And I definitely hear that in your voice. And I also actually hear a little bit of this Adrian Belew from King Crimson a little bit. Like,
wow.
It's got this kind of mystical quality to it or something that I can't, it's hard to explain. But I was wondering what other, vocalists have you been compared to, or people have said that they, you kind of sound like this.
Yeah, I definitely get Paul Simon. Sometimes James Taylor, if I'm lucky. I mean, who else? I don't know. I mean,
James Hetfield.
I haven't gotten the King Crimson one before, but yeah. Who else?
Nick Drake.
Oh, little Nick Drake, I guess. Yeah, I mean, those are all huge influences, and it's a, I'm always really happy to hear that somebody makes that connection. I mean, it's an honor, really. But yeah, those are absolutely some of my big vocal influences.
Well, your band, Steep Ravine, is definitely a very active touring band, and it really shows in the quality of the musicianship at your shows. And I was wondering just how has touring changed you as a band, besides just tightening up the screws of your stage act?
Ooh. As a band, huh?
I mean, touring is like the teacher above, type of thing where it's like you just, I don't know if you can swear on the radio, but so I won't say it, but... You get your butt kicked a lot on the road, and you got to figure out how to like get through all that stuff as a band together, mm-hmm. which is part of why we're in here right now doing it and not doing something else, because I guess, we got our butt kicked and we figured it out and we came through and we're still able to call each other friends. And I think that's yeah. One of the most important things of learning from tour is, there's good shows and there's bad shows and there's small audiences and large audiences, and you just got to play the best that you can.
Yeah.
In any circumstance.
And you're also, a lot of times stripped of some of your comforts out on the road. I mean, driving long hours, and sometimes you're not, showers aren't a regular thing, and getting a soft bed is not a regular thing. Sometimes we're roughing it, and, going through that together really, I think, helps us all play music better together, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah,
there's things that happen on stage that I think reflect people's personalities that happen musically that reflect people's personalities in a non-musical way, and those things are always kind of funny to notice. How those things can, those characteristics can tie together.
Did you guys, before you started touring and reaching out to other other cities out across the West Coast, did you have a pretty strong fan base in the Bay Area and the surrounding, your hometowns and stuff?
Yeah, definitely in Santa Cruz and Marin and Bay Area at large, eventually. But yeah, we definitely got our start very hardcore in Santa Cruz.
But we also kind of started hitting the road, pretty soon after
that's
the band
true, yeah.
was, formed. We kind of, I remember our first tour was about 6 weeks long, and we went out to New Orleans, and we hadn't been a band for that long at that point.
No.
Maybe a year or less or something. Less than that, I think.
Yeah,
but
we made a lot of long-lasting connections on that tour.
Yeah.
We still are, people we still go and hang out with on the road and play for, and people who set up shows for us from that very first tour.
Yeah.
You said it was out to New Orleans?
Yeah, it was out to New Orleans. We went south to San Diego and then crossed the Southwest and drove through New Mexico, Texas, and all the way out to Louisiana, and then
up to
St. Louis, and then over to the Northwest from there. So, or Colorado, I guess, first, and then mm-hmm. the Northwest, and then back down. So.
Was the New Orleans destination like a calling to just visit a very historical music city, or
kind of.
I think the tour was just an excuse for us to go to New Orleans.
Yeah, we all just wanted to hang out.
Yeah.
Are there any other big destinations that you would love to just plan a tour around just to go to that place?
Ooh.
Hawaii.
Alaska.
In terms of the U.S., like, the band's never been to the East Coast before, so
yeah.
East Coast would be awesome to
yeah.
get up to, like, Vermont and maybe, mm-hmm. like, even Chicago and
Nashville.
Alaska, Nashville.
I'd like to see the whole Great Lakes region, too.
Oh, yeah.
I've never been out there.
Basically, anywhere that we've never been before, like, I think that's kind of crucial that you want to do that because there's,
Europe.
Well,
yeah.
Ireland.
What the heck?
Malaysia.
I'm sticking to Iceland.
Well, I was asking earlier about, you know, touring as an early band versus establishing yourself first, because I've heard just conflicting opinions about that, and I'm kind of wondering what you guys think about, is it important to have a strong fan base at home before you start, you know, reaching out and testing out the waters of traveling and playing music?
I think from a business perspective, there has to be a balance between the two things. You know, I think having a strong base is very essential to you, to their continuing success as a band in general. But, you know, you can't only be playing at home and not touring for long periods of time as a band, because that's just going to make it harder when you do start touring. But also, you know, that being said, I think it's crucial to be building up both those things at the same time. And yeah.
Would you guys like to add anything to that?
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, our first tour may have been a little premature. It was more just kind of like, this will be a blast, you know.
Yeah.
But I think you know, we've kind of been building up a little more concentrically since then.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it's, yeah, a balance is what's needed.
At this point, do you guys book most of your own touring, or is that something that you guys kind of let somebody else deal with?
At this point, but hopefully it's going to be changing soon. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm wondering about, like, does that ever get tedious having to do that? And not, you know, and is that just, do you find that to be distracting from creating music, or?
How is it, Jan?
Yeah, tell us, man.
I think it's very time consuming, and it's a lot of time on the computer. And in the modern age, I think musicians are kind of expected to, you know, with the kind of fall of the traditional music industry, you know, and heading into the 21st century, I think kind of musicians are expected to do a lot more themselves other than create music, which I think can definitely take a toll on the amount of time that you have to actually practice and play music. So it's interesting. I mean, I think great music is always going to be made no matter what. But it's just, you know, as a musician, I think now you have to really be doing all this other stuff, you know, at the same time as playing music, and it definitely cuts into your time that you have for your own making music and your own practicing and also other things that you do that aren't music.
Well, speaking of doing it yourselves, I'm intrigued by this music festival you guys have been putting on each year. What can you tell our listeners about Dio Fest?
Dio Fest stands for Do It Ourselves Fest. It's a 3-day camping music festival in the mountains of Santa Cruz and Boulder Creek. Multiple stages, and it's kind of like a grassroots. We kind of build everything ourselves, no corporate whatever, just basically for the love of it, for the people. Super small and intimate, and usually about 30 bands every year. Cheap tickets. It's a really interesting festival, and yeah, it's been a really great learning experience being a part of it and everything that comes with it, and then also being on the other side of being in a band where you're on the production side of things is also really nice to learn, and I think helps bands get better at being successful by understanding both sides of the spectrum and how to make a good show happen.
Nice. Well, we're going to get into some music here in a minute. I was hoping you could tell our listeners about the song you're playing today. What's the title of it, and how did it come? What can you tell us about it?
Well, I started writing that song when I was 18 in college, actually, after really listening to a bunch of Paul Simon, namely his self-titled record. And I just, that groove came from that album and the chords and the feel. And I didn't know what to write it about for a long time, and it kind of ended up just being kind of a fun love song of sorts, you know. And yeah, I don't know quite else what to say about
you
the theme.
You finished the lyrics kind of like
wooden floors.
And when did you finish them?
I finished them after a gig at Moe's Alley. Finally, I had a beer and
Santa
I went
Cruz.
Outside and I was like, I got it. This is the song is called Wooden Floors, because that's what somebody said to me. I mean, the whole song was spurred by a gal telling me that I looked like a wooden floorboard kind of guy, and I thought, that is weird, and that should be a lyric.
But I like how you wrote the chords, and then you know the song didn't fully get completed until, that experience happened. And
absolutely,
came to you, you know,
absolutely.
Like a year later or something.
Yeah, sometimes I'll write songs and it'll happen real quick, and that's really nice. But often, more often than not, I'll get a quarter of a song or half a song or just a chorus or something, and then I just try to put it away and let it kind of come back when it's ready to be finished. And that was a good example of a year kind of passing before that song got finished.